Byron Wagner, narrator.
This is from The Face of a Naked Lady by Michael Ripps. By my senior year in high school, I rarely ate lunch at the school. On some days, my friend Keith and I would go out. On some days, I would meet my father. More often than not, I would eat alone at one of the old restaurants downtown. One afternoon, I decided to have lunch at the Silver Pit, a small concrete hut that served ribs and pig snouts, and which was one of the several places in South Omaha to which my father regularly returned. The cook, owner, and waiter was named Jasper, and my father liked him, though the two of them probably said no more than three or four words in the many decades that my father ate there. Walking to the parking lot, I discovered that my car was gone, and the man in the booth was missing. The police caught up with me at the end of the day to say that the car had been found in the very same spot where I had parked it in the morning. 2 weeks later, the story repeated itself. I went to the lot in the middle of the day. The car was gone. I called the police, and they found it in the lot. The third time this happened, I dispensed with calling the police. What I'd learned from the police was that the car was so old that the key to the ignition was stripped, and the car could be started with anything thin enough to be slipped into the keyhole. Someone was breaking into my car, driving it for the day, and then returning it in time for me to get home. The arrangement seemed sensible enough, particularly since every month or so, the person who stole my car was good enough to have it washed and filled with gas. This is from Atomic Lobster by Tim Dorsey. Here's your chance. I'm going to leave now. If you can figure a way out, you're free to go. Let's see. Handcuffs prevent you from getting at the noose, seatbelt, or gear shift. So you better keep that foot on the brake. But then you'll get hit by the train, which can't see or hear you because I pulled those fuses to the horn and the lights. So you better step on the gas. But then the seatbelt and shoulder strap will hold you in the car and your head will pop off. Therein lies the dilemma. When you hear that train a-coming, coming round the bend, what will you do? Brake or gas? Deal? No deal. Serge scratched his head. You're in a real jam. But I'm sure you'll figure something. I got the impression you thought you were a lot smarter than me. Serge walked back to his own car, starting to sing. Bodine struggled vainly against the cuffs. Don't leave! Serge climbed into the Mercury and got behind the wheel. Let the midnight special shine as a loving light on me. Bodine watched over his shoulder as the Merc's taillights disappeared back into the woods. Completely quiet and dark again. Actually quite peaceful. Then, a rumble. Bodine turned. A blinding white beam hit his eyes. Hiding the Elephant, Jim Steinmeier. The disappearing donkey trick became a favorite with the audience, and part of its popularity was the donkey itself. Many mentioned how impossible it seemed that the donkey could be so strangely cooperative. With never so much as the sound of a departing hoof, one review commented, it was as if the intelligent creature had discovered the secret of the fourth dimension. Morritt was careful to demonstrate that no one was concealed inside the stable at the beginning of the illusion. Then the clown led the donkey up the ramp and instantly jumped out again, leaving the donkey alone inside for the disappearance. Morritt only added to the mystery by claiming that he depended on the donkey working the mechanism for the trick. A sleight-of-hand magician named Edward Victor was in the repertory company of magicians, which meant that he was occasionally called upon to present one of the feature tricks. One night, he was performing the disappearing donkey. He took the animal through its paces, slammed it inside the stable, and then dramatically threw open the doors, pronouncing that it had disappeared. Instead, he found the donkey was still there, blinking back at him. He contemplated the situation and announced to the audience, "I promised to show you a disappearing ass, so here I go." He turned on his heel and walked off the stage.